Praise the Lord, beloved. Praise the Lord. We welcome you to another edition of our podcast, St. James Missionary Baptist Church's podcast. And I'm your host, Brother Cotton. And I also happen to be a pastor of St. James Missionary Baptist Church. We thank the Lord for the opportunity, once again, first of all, to be able to meet with you through this technology and social media, to be able to discuss various issues. We don't really hold anything back, so to speak. If the Word of God teaches it, has something to say about it that can help build the kingdom and help enrich our lives, then we're willing to talk about it. Our podcast is Christ-centered, which means, of course, it's centered around what the Holy Bible teaches. So this is not something that you would normally participate in. We ask you to stick around for a while, see how you like it. Is it geared to directly preach, as we should say, preach the word to folks? We don't hide that. That is, of course, we would love for everyone to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and make them as his personal savior. There's no question about that. We don't hide that. We have no hidden agendas, so to speak. That is ultimately what we would love to happen. But is that directly what we are talking about? I don't want to label us like that, because, like I said, what we talk about excuse me, it's always going to be seasoned with the Word of God. That's what we're about. And prayerfully, in doing so, if it leaves, you know, so many more people who have not accepted the Lord as their Savior to that point, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But also, there are some who already saved, already know the Lord, and maybe this just gives them a platform to be able to discuss issues that with those of like belief, and they don't have that platform anywhere else, and this affords them that opportunity. So we're looking for, like we said, for the upbuilding of the kingdom, to be able to help enlighten and illuminate others in whatever positive things that can happen. That's what we want to be able to say that we do here on this podcast. Having said that, let us first have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for giving us this opportunity. We pray, Lord, that you would instill within us, Lord, even the wisdom and understanding that comes from you. We pray, Father, that we'd be able to, with this wisdom and understanding, that we'd be able to rightfully divide the word today, even in things that we deal with on a daily basis, that we might be able to see your workings in there and your direction and instruction as we go about these things. Again, I pray, Lord, that you would bless my speech, my thoughts, my intents. I pray, Lord, that they can be void of my own pride and ego and vanity, Lord, and just give forth that which you would have given. That is always my prayer. And this I do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so today on our podcast. How important is the word of God to you when it comes to, well, today we're talking about when it comes to political issues. And I know somebody said, oh boy. Yeah, and I don't blame you because many an argument has come from this, and it's almost like that's what it does. I mean, you get guys together, guys, we sitting around playing checkers, or we had a picnic, or we just gathered around talking, and once the issue of politics come up, there you go. You know, there you go. If you got 10 people, you got 10 different, you could have 10 different positions on the same issue. So, I mean, this is what happens. So, am I going to say to you that we're going to settle these different political issues? I wish. I wish, but I don't. I don't think the political issues themselves are going to be settled today. But I do hope that in the approach that we take when we look at these different issues, I hope we can get to some understanding on that. That's really what we're about. But you tell me as we go a little bit further. I want to, of course, let you know that I don't consider myself speaking for the church. I'm not just talking about the simple local churches. I'm just talking about for the church, period. That's not who I am. No one has appointed me the speaker for the church, okay? But I am a member of the church of, you know, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of those who follow him, those who follow his word. The ones I'm a member of those whom the Lord is coming back for as he teaches in his word. So I'm just facilitating expressing an opinion from that position. Okay. And I want to say that I'm the opinions that I do express, the positions that you do see me or hear me take, or that I feel moved, I feel moved to do so, and I feel like I'm in agreement with what the word is teaching on that and from the position that I'm taking. But again, that's why we're here. You can voice your opinion. You can think that I'm way left or way right or just completely wrong, or you can say, yes, I agree with you on this point, but I don't know about that point. And that's what we're here for, to discuss that prayerfully. We can do as the word teaches us. We can reason together, okay, knowing that we do want to get to ultimately get to the same place as far as this particular discussion. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to reason together, that we may walk together in agreement. You know, you may illuminate me on something that I overlooked. And for that, I thank you even in advance. Okay. And maybe I can help do the same thing for you. You know, so that's what we're about. I'm not here to debate with you and argue with you about that. I'm not here to try to make you agree with what I'm saying. I'm just sharing what I'm saying and what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking with you. Okay. And if you agree with it, praise God. If you don't, praise God too. You know. But let's go a little bit further and see. Like I said, the question remains, how important is the word of God to you when it comes to the position the church should take when it comes to political issues? Now, I know, like I said, I know that discussing politics is something people have been doing for years. And probably will continue to do so until they're not able to do so. But that's another discussion. And but when we say political issues, a lot of us want to even debate that point. I'm not going to debate it. All I'm going to say is this. A lot of things that we may consider to be community issues, social issues, Some people might want to say, well, they could all come under the umbrella of political issues. Some people might say they all could, even including political issues, could come under the umbrella of community issues, and they can all, in that regard, be interchanged. Fine. Fine. That's fine. Okay, but we're looking at particular issues that we hear all the time and we've grown up hearing for years, and people want to talk about it, and they say, well, we're talking politics, and these issues come up. I'm talking about several things. One, when it talks about the integrity of our elected and appointed government officials on all levels. I'm talking from the committee person all the way up to the president. The integrity of each and every one of them is because is an issue. Who to vote for is an issue. Are the wealthy paying as much taxes as the so-called working class? That's an issue. Shouldn't the government be doing something to make health care more affordable for everyone? That's an issue. Should even the government step in and even make higher education more affordable? I mean, in some countries, they pay for students to get their degrees past pu public education, past high school. Okay, they want to go on and pursue higher learning degrees. A lot of governments, they pay for that. For being as wealthy as this country is, should the government be doing something in this area as well? These are issues. And why are our political leaders even considering threatening people's pensions and Social Security? Why is that even an issue? It's in place, and we thought that we understood the reasoning behind having them. Why is that even an issue? You have people who have worked and have been blessed to be able to retire from jobs, and some have worked a long time, and now in their years now, when they have come to depend on this income, it's being threatened. It shouldn't even be an issue. Doesn't it seem like the government should be doing more to even protect this, thus helping secure our, I guess it would be our elders, or even those, for whatever reason, those who are disabled, those who, I mean, have already worked and earned these this income, this pensions and Social Security. We should be protecting them. Instead, we're threatening them. Some of them are barely making it as it is with things costing so high. But all of these are issues. All of these are issues. The list can just go on and on and on of things that we put under the umbrella of political issues. Okay. And I just want to say that we can come to all kinds of conclusions. We listen to different reporters reporting on these issues. We watch different programs, different news stations, and all kinds of resources we have at our disposal with those who are so-called experts, and they are dealing with a lot of these issues. And we still talk about them. Like I said from the beginning, this is something we've been doing for years as people arguing, debating over political issues, over issues, period. This is what we like to do, because a lot of us do not have platforms even like this where they can discuss this. In other words, maybe just getting it off their chest, so to speak. And so We are presenting some of these issues to you today. What I want to do is I'm going to throw a few scriptures out here. Okay, now we already told you some of the issues we're talking, we're considering when it comes to political issues. We just shared a few of them. I just want to share a few scriptures with them, and I'd love to hear what you think. Think if these scriptures are pertinent and relevant to what we're talking about. Number one, I want you to listen to this here. I'm not trying to insult anyone, but like I said, some of you may be driving, or you may not have your word with you, your Bible's handy, and I just want to share these with you. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him. We talk about Jesus, to trap him in his words, understanding Jesus is teaching them out there among them. And a lot of these people who didn't like Jesus, didn't like what his message was, they're trying to find a way to trap him up in some of the things he's saying to make it seem as though he's going against what the law is, what the law says we should be doing. He's speaking against that. That's what they're trying to trap him in, so they can get him, to try to hush him up. Okay. So they went, they sent their followers. Now I'm talking about the people, the Pharisees, the ones who follow them. Y'all do know that people have different ones who follow them in different organizations. Y'all do know that. So they sent their disciples to him, their followers, to Jesus, along with the Herodians, these other different group of people. And this is what they said: "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" Are they trying to trap him up, trick him up in some stuff? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, this is what he said: "Oh, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." So they pull out one of the coins, and they brought him a denarius. This is the coin they brought him. And he asked them, "Whose image is this?" And looked on it. "And whose inscription is on this coin?" "Caesar's," they said. "It's Caesar's." Then Jesus said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." Now, when they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and they went their way. Now, you see what Jesus did. He did not make it an issue. Well, you should do this or that. What belongs to Caesar? What belongs to the land? These are taxes that he's decreed must be paid. You're a citizen here. You reside here. You have to pay him. Give back to him what's his. But don't neglect what belongs to God. And if you notice, Jesus didn't pull out any coin. He said, "Well, this is God's." It wasn't about, because it's not about and was not about money. Okay? But Caesar demands a certain amount of money in the form of tax. You have to pay that. You live here. You're a resident here. You have to pay that. But we, who are also followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, realize that our citizenship goes beyond just this earthly plane, because this is not our home. It's just like we're on vacation. Okay? And you may be on vacation here for 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, and so forth. But one thing, in all the vacations, that the Lord has blessed us to be able to go on. One thing about vacations, they come to a close and you have to return back to your residence. And that's the same thing it is with us. When our time here is done, when we're done vacationing here, I'm talking about here on this plane, on this planet we call Earth, after we spend the years that the Lord deemed that we should spend, we're going home. We're going to our place of residence. We're going to where our citizenship is. Okay. That's one thing about vacation. But again, I don't want to get into a lesson that's for another day, another time. So this is what he said to them. Yeah, it's no competition here. Caesar demands this, then we give Caesar what he demands. In this issue, so that's what Jesus did. Another thing I want to point out. Okay, and you can find this. I'm sorry, you can find this passage in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. You can start reading at the 15th verse all the way through the 22nd. You can see him, Jesus, saying again to them, reminding them to give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. And you can find that again, even in Mark, the 12th chapter, the 17th verse. And as before stated, in Luke, the 20th chapter, the 22nd through the 25th verses as well, you find this. Something else I want to point out to you, right again, in line with one of the issues that we've mentioned. You find these words. Where do you come from? Now, this is Pilate. He's got Jesus tied up, imprisoned. No, well, I'll just say tied up maybe in whatever they use as he's before them. The crowd is around, ready to get ready to crucify him. And Pilate says to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate goes and said, "Do you refuse to speak to me?" This is what Pilate said to Jesus. Now, why he said, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Now, this is what Pilate's saying to Jesus. But watch this. Watch this. Watch what Jesus says to him, how he answered him. He says, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. You have no power, or authority, either word you like to use. You have no authority over me. Yes, you head over this land, and since I'm in this land right here, you have a degree of authority. But don't get things twisted. You would not even have that unless my father gave it to you." That's very important for us to understand. We have many people that are in positions of authority, positions of power. Now, we might feel as though, yes, we elected them, or some have been appointed by others who have been elected, or whatever process you want to look at. But always understand, especially when it comes to God's people, when you have someone in authority over God's people, don't get things twisted. God allows them to be there. God allows them to be there. And this is what Jesus wants Pilate to understand. You have no power over me except that power that my Father is giving you. So whatever it is you think you're doing, whatever it is you think you can cause to happen, understand who's pulling your string. It's my Father who puts you there because you fulfill a purpose, his purpose. We don't know how everything is going to intertwine, how everything is going to go to as my Father wants it to go, but it's going in the way that he wants to. I want you to understand. You think that you are doing this. You think that you are making this happen. You think that you can do this. But all you can do is what my father allows you to do. I want you to understand that. And we as believers also need to understand what he's saying here. And those of us who are not, we understand these teachings. This is the, now you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, y'all got him bound up, manipulating things to try to lead him to be crucified, and he still speaks with this type of authority. Oh, yes. Yes, he does. Wow. So I'm saying, I just put out a few scriptures. Of course, I could have went down a whole litany of scriptures, but that's not what I wanted to do. Okay. I want you to understand some things as we are presenting them to you. Listen, I don't have to like or agree with the leaders we have in position, neither do you. I don't have to like them. We're not holding hands and going to the park together, tiptoeing and skipping through the tulips. We're not doing that. I don't have to like them. I don't have to like how they look. I don't have to like what they say. I don't have to like what they do. I don't have to like any of it. I don't. Okay. I don't even have to agree with the laws that they put in place. I don't even have to agree with them. I don't have to like them or agree with them either. Okay. But because I live here, I live here in America. I live here. I'm a resident here. I am a constituent. I'm one who votes here. I am obligated to obey them. I'm obligated to recognize them in the position that they have, the authority that they have, the power, if you will, that they have. I recognize that. Okay. And the laws that we have in place, yes, I'm obligated to obey them. They apply to me. Because, like I said, I am a resident here. The law says I can only drive my car to such a speed. I'm limited. I'm obligated to obey that law. The law says, hey, you purchased this. You are obligated to pay this tax that goes with it. It costs X amount of dollars, but you got to pay a little bit more because it's taxed. Okay, I'm obligated to pay that. Unless I have something in place that allows me pay that tax, and I'm obligated to do so. Okay. I own certain things, a house, a car, or what have you, and it's taxed. I have to pay that. Because as a resident, I'm obligated to pay that tax. And that's the way things are. That's the law. If that's the law that's in place, yes, we're obligated to obey the law. I don't like it. I found it distasteful. I may find it too much, but I'm still obligated to pay it. Now, let me say this also. I don't believe that it is the church's duty or obligation. Now, watch this. If y'all were right here in front of me now, I can see the arguments to people. What? You get ready to start. If it was five or six of us right here, I could hear, oh, no. But watch what I'm saying here. Watch this. I don't believe that it is the church's duty or obligation to tell congregants who to vote for. I want to repeat that. It's not my job, my duty as pastor, in position as pastor, to tell those in the congregation who they should vote for. I believe it's personal. I do. I'm gonna tell you why in a minute, but I believe it's personal. I believe it's a decision that the person makes. When you go to wherever it is you go to vote, that's your business. That's between you. People say you and your conscience. I say it's between you and God. It's a personal thing because we live, those who are followers of Christ, in everything that we do, it don't mean we don't separate it. In everything that we do, we live by the word of God. That's what we live by. Whatever I'm here to do, I need to consult the Lord about it. Okay? He told us we have to always consult him. We don't just lean to our own understanding. Proverbs 3rd chapter, 56 verses. We don't just lean to what we think. Well, I think I need to consult the Lord about it. I'm getting ready to vote for this person. Lord, if you're the type of person you were that deep into it, I did a little research and yeah, I narrowed it down to this person or that person. Are you in agreement with this, Lord? And you vote how you feel. Now you say that's a whole lot of work for just to vote. Well, again, it depends on how important it is to you. That's why one reason why I say it's an individual's decision. You have some people say, "Hey, that person's a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. I'm voting for him." Yes, we say that person's a Democrat, but all these three are Democrats too. Which one do I want? And you have to make, you want to take some thought about that. You have some who take that position. You have some who say, "Oh yeah, I'm Republican, they're Republican, but it's four of them." Let me see, eeny, meeny, that might be their position. He said, "It doesn't matter, they're all Republican." It's an individual decision. Now you see where I'm coming to you with that. It's an individual decision like that. Secondly, what makes it important? Now, I want you to hear this. When you look in the scripture, and I just gave you one example here, simply Pilate, who was in charge in this situation, even with Jesus. You got to take note. Now, watch this. Watch this. That the Lord has put a number of people in position so that they could perform sometimes the unenviable task that he wanted done. Think, what am I saying? Let me see, he had Pharaoh in position. And we know what Pharaoh did to with God's people. But he had him in position. Nebuchadnezzar, but especially we all familiar with the probably the most famous story with him and Daniel's buddies in the lions. I mean, in the Daniel rather in the in them in the fiery furnace, him having that to happen. Let me see, Pilate, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar. And I guess I could go on and on as I start going through some of the different kings that he had in place and judges and other people that he put in position. We don't know what the Lord is doing. We know what we read in the scriptures. We know that there are certain people that the Lord is allowing to do certain things. We know that, yes, we know that there's going to be an Antichrist. And the word said, even then, when it was written, that he may be present even as we speak then. He may be present now. We know that there are a lot of people, we look at him and say, that could be the Antichrist. This person could be. We know that that happens. Judas, even, was one that the Lord had in place from the very beginning. When he picked his disciples, he knew who Judas was. He said, "Why would he pick him? One, he's God. He does what he wants to do." As we look at what has happened as a result of Judas. We can look back and say, oh, he did it because of this. In hindsight, we can look back and say that. We can look in the scriptures and see what those scriptures have said about Judas, knowing that he was, he was a devil from the beginning. Yet Jesus had a role for him to play. So when we look at some of the officials and all we have today, I hope that a lot of us, I'm talking specifically about the Christians now, you have taken the time to pray, to consult the Lord, to communicate with the Lord, and also to align that which you have come to in a conclusion with the scripture, and be able to say without a shadow of a doubt the advice you're giving someone when you tell them who they should vote for. It's easy to look at officials that we deem are immoral, that we think that are unscrupulous and all of that. We can look at them, and it's easy to put them in that group. And they might well be, but it doesn't mean they're not there to help fulfill God's purpose. Oh yeah. As we even look through the scriptures, we can see where God has used not just people that we think are evil. He has used things, plagues, all kinds of stuff that we would deem to be evil to get his plan working, or to get his plan in place. So let us take note of that. Today it's so easy for us to look at folks, look at things, and say that, oh man, that's bad, that's evil, that's this. And so many of us do that without having first consulted the Lord about it. Maybe the Lord tells you, no, I got a plan for this person. Or maybe he doesn't. But we don't take into account who's in charge of all of this. We don't take into effect that the Lord has this person in position. He allowed this to happen. We go on and we say, we don't believe that that person was voted in. We don't believe that the people voted for this person. And we don't believe that people could want to vote for them. God has a plan. But just like he has a plan for that person that's in position, don't forget that he also has a plan for you. We worry about the wrong things. God has given his folks promises and stuff as well. Worry, concern yourself about these things. He already told us, don't worry about anything. You concern yourself that you're where I want you to be at, doing what I want you to do. Political issues, they're going to come, they're going to go. You just set your mind on things above. Keep your mind there. Not in the clouds. We don't want you to be so heavenly minded that you become no earthly good. No, we don't want anybody to do that. But we don't need to worry about what's going on here with politics and all this stuff. Why? Why are you worried about it? But that's, again, you might say that might be another discussion for another time. This is what I'm saying, this is the conclusion that I'm coming to when it comes to political issues. We're always going to have them, okay? Until the time comes where men will be able to openly discuss these things. Excuse me. We'll be able to openly discuss these things. It's always going to be discussions, debates, arguments about political issues. But what does this mean for, how important is the Word of God to us when it comes to these issues, that come to the position we should take when it comes to these issues? That's what's important. That's what we talk about here. Some of us, yeah, we're confronted with these issues on our jobs, maybe even our homes and our neighborhoods. We sitting out on the porch talking to a neighbor and just walking out. These issues come up. What position should we take as believers? Because I don't care if you're uncle this, daddy that, aunt this, grandma this, or whatever other title you may fit you. If you're this neighbor, whatever it is, you are always, always a follower of Christ. If you are, if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, you're always that. And being that's who you are, the Word of God is what governs you. As the Lord's representative, as the Lord's witness, as his ambassador, you are always, always governed by what the word teaches. The just, the righteous, the saved shall live by faith, and your faith comes by what thus says the word of God. So, yes, you live by what says the word of God. All the time, all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year, you are always there. Don't forget that. So no, it's not like, okay, well, I can put my, as the old folks just say, I'll put my religion aside for this. No, you don't put it aside. You're always who you are. And when you take that into consideration, do that. When it comes to political issues, don't be so quick to rally with folks because, we're going to take this position. We're going to take that. Is that what the Lord is teaching? Is that what he's leading you to do? Is that part of his word, his way, his will for you? You make this personal. I don't care what the majority of people are doing. Remember, the majority of people on their way to hell. It's going to be a great fall on the way. But what is the Lord telling you to do? What is he telling you to do? That's what's important. Like we said, how important is the word of God to you when it comes to these issues? Listen, God bless you. God bless you. We hope and pray that we have provoked your thought today by way of what the word is teaching. We hope we've done that. And if we've said some things that you agree with, if we said some things you don't agree with, if we said something that you would like even to go a little bit deeper on, please feel free to contact us. Okay. I always encourage you to come through our website because our website will give you access to a lot of other things. And our website address is St. James MPC. Philly.com. That is St. James, ST, all one word, STJAMES. M as in mother, B as in brother, okay, C as in child, St. James, MBC, Philly, PHILLY.com. You can get to our website. To our email, it's the same thing except you put pastor at in front of it. St. James MBC Philly.com. You can do it that way. And you can get, just send us an email. You can do that. Again, when you get to our website, you'll see that there will be places where you can put your comments as well as your email, and we can respond to you. So that's why we encourage you to go to our website, where you'll have access to this. You'll also have access to our Facebook page, our YouTube page there as well as Instagram. You can link right through the website. You can go right through there and get right to those vehicles. And also, for those of you who go up some morning and you want to join us live on our podcast, we meet on Tuesdays. We meet on Tuesdays. We're broadcasting live on Tuesday mornings at 7 o'clock. And those of you who have Zoom, you can just join us. Our meeting ID is 829-9771-4213. That's our meeting ID. If you need for me to send you, let's say, an invitation, for those of you who don't have Zoom but you still want to participate, because if we send you an invitation, I believe that will allow you to log right in. Anyhow, again, come to our website or contact me, and we can and I can send you an invitation. Okay, I can do that. So until we're able to meet again with you, God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Continue to pray for us. Here, that we can continue on doing this as we feel the Lord has led us to do. Okay, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you gave us. We thank you for allowing us to have met during this time. We pray that what we have done, what we've said, what we've discussed is pleasing to you, and your word is rightly divided, even in this conversation. Continue to strengthen us and illuminate us, that we may continue to be lights, even in this dark world. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you.